stuff, right?
The Sports Map Radio Network continues with live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to your host, Anthony Pepe.
Hanging out with me tonight, Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. Mark Linehan will be here shortly. Again, end of an era, Jeff. Bill Belichick, after 24 seasons with the New England Patriots, 6 Super Bowl championships, 9 appearances, 266-121 is the record, 30 postseason wins, 17 AFC East titles, you know, those T-shirt and hat games, and 18 playoff appearances. But ended the season, the last season, 4-13, missed the playoffs for the third time in 4 years. We all knew this day was going to come. We just weren't sure when. And it happened today, and it seemed very weird.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this for weeks upon weeks. We talked about the game in Germany where Tom E. Curran comes out and says it's done, it's official, after they were 1-8. And then you win a couple games, and then you start to say, well, maybe we can bring the gang back together. They get beat by the Jets to end after, I think he had won like 16 in a row or something like that against the Jets. And now we were waiting for the day. Was it going to be Black Monday? Yep. No Tuesday? And then I talked to you on before we came on live about potentially why it didn't happen on Wednesday. And it happens, obviously, first thing.
Something happened on Wednesday that I don't know about?
Supposedly that the Patriots were going to release this yesterday, but Bill called them up and says, hey, I got inside scoop that Nick Saban's going to retire today. I don't want to do it on the day that Nick's retiring. Let's wait and do it first thing this morning, and that's what they did.
So Nick Saban retires Wednesday night. Bill Belichick says, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
You know, it's funny with all the speculation of whether or not he was going to come back, whether or not he's going to relinquish his title, his GM and all stuff. He's on now, Charles? All right, we have our guest. We'll put that conversation on hold, and we'll hop to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Once again, bundle, auto, and save. Visit progressive.com. Good friend of the show, longtime friend of the show. Voice at Gillette Stadium, also the voice of the Providence Friars. John Rook is on the line. John, welcome back to the Diehards. Anthony and Jeff, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey, a little interesting day happening here in New England.
Yeah. I have to admit, I'm still a little surprised at it all. I know everything has trended that way,
all right,
you know, especially since the end of the season, but I'm still a little surprised that it happened. I thought that they would try to make things happen, and apparently they did, as Robert Kraft kind of confirmed today. It's a little surreal today, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, as things take place after a 24-year, you know, historical career.
You know, John, it's funny because I think I talked to you when Tom Brady had left, and what's it going to be like being the in-stadium voice of the Patriots and calling the, you know, and doing your job the first time Tom Brady's not in a Patriot uniform. Is it going to be weird not having Bill Belichick on the sidelines next season?
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. I mean, you know, life goes on as it all does, and, you know, in every instance when you have change after, you know, going a certain way over an extended period of time. But, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, what Bill Belichick has done, especially in this day and age of parity and salary caps and everything else that's going on, it's unprecedented. I you know, and I don't think I'm going over the bounds by, you know, saying that we may never see something like this in our lifetime again,
mm-hmm.
just because the game is just built differently now than what it was, you know, over the course of the last 20 to 30 years.
Hey, John, I'm curious, and again, I mentioned you're the play-by-play voice of the Providence Friars, longtime voice as well, and coaching changes are hard. You just dealt with that in Providence. Ed Cooley goes to Georgetown, and Kim English comes in. How do the Patriots find their king, Kim English? Because Kim English seems like the perfect fit, you know, obviously coming in with a big name, Ed Cooley, but he seems like the right guy. How do the Patriots find their Kim English?
You know, that's a great question, Anthony. And I would tell you that I don't know that they will. I think that there's every good opportunity that they will, because I think that, you know, the actual candidate pool, you know, to move in at New England is probably a short one. But they've got to, you know, do the due diligence. They've got, you know, NFL rules. They've got the Rooney Rule that they, you know, need to follow, and, you know, to make sure that they're doing things the right way. And I think their ultimate candidate is probably going to come from one of two people. You know, right now. You know, Gerard Mayo has been at the top of the list for a long time as the heir apparent. And, you know, he was sort of anointed as the heir apparent a year ago. And then I also believe that because of what's transpired a couple of days ago with Mike Vrabel's firing in Tennessee, I do believe that the Patriots are going to take a good long look at Vrabel's potential candidacy. I think in a perfect world, I do agree that that would be a home run hire for the Patriots just because of his background and, you know, the fact that he was a player under Belichick. But I also know that they don't want to lose Gerard Mayo, that everybody feels that, you know, he can be that next guy, that next generation guy. He's only 35. The players love him. The players respect him. The players rally around him. The only issue here is that he doesn't have any head coaching experience. And so if they could figure out a way to make both of those work, you know, where, you know, Mayo and Vrabel could, you know, figure out a way to work together, I think that would truly be the home run hire, at least from New England's point of view.
John, it's Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
Good, Jeff. How are you, sir?
Good. You were talking, Pepe was talking about change, and you're dealing with that in Providence this year. And
nobody likes change.
No, not at all, especially in my checking account. now we'll be dealing with this in New England, and you talked about Mayo, you talked about Vrabel, and me and Pepper were on last week. And I said it was no coincidence that Vrabel news got out there, and then, of course, he was let go on Monday. Word on the street today especially is, I think, through Tommy E. Curran and a few others, that the Mayo job, it's a done deal. As you said, they don't want him to leave. But the big splash, obviously, I think, for Pats Nation is, let's bring Vrabel back, won a championship, and go from there. If you had the choice, what would you do?
You know, I like I said, I honestly believe that I'd try to find a way to make them both work, but I realize that they're probably going to have to make that choice. I don't know that Gerard would end up staying where he is and just being Mike's defensive coordinator. I feel like that would probably be the best of both worlds, but I wasn't privy to the conversation that, you know, Mayo had with, you know, Robert Kraft when he convinced Gerard to, you know, stop taking those head coaching interviews a year ago, and we want to keep you here in New England. And so he did. He abruptly dropped everything that he was, you know, going out to interview for this time a year ago. And I think everybody assumed at the time, and the Krafts have done nothing to dissuade that thought, that he was going to be sort of there to step in, you know, when the opportunity came about. You know, he was their guy for life. And I just, you know, and then when Vrabel was elected enshrined into the Patriot Hall of Fame earlier this fall, and this is what apparently ticked off the Tennessee Titans because of his reaction to that and ultimately led to his firing this week. But I thought at the time he just sounded so close to the organization. I mean, at halftime of the enshrinement, he was like, okay, we need to finish this stuff up. We got a game to play here. And I turned and I looked at my spotter and I said, who is we? Because his awesome. Team's in Tennessee. You know, his team was off that week, but I'm just like, who's we? And I just struck me as incredibly odd, incredibly odd. And so that's kind of where I always have thought, you know, hey, if the opportunity ever presented itself, I think the Patriots would slide that way. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days to see what they ultimately decide here.
John, we've got about a minute left here. We obviously knew this day was coming. We just weren't sure and how it transpired. But did the Patriots handle this thing correctly?
I think so. I think they handled this thing about as correctly as you could handle it. And, you know, it's an awkward thing. Let's face it. When you're moving on after 24 years, people have been married for a long time and you get divorced. I mean, it's never really amicable. And it was truly amicable today. And so I give both sides, you know, Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick, I give them a lot of credit for, you know, if they have differences, they buried them publicly. And I think they all realized, look, you know, it would be a little awkward for them to move on. They talked about maybe moving on, but it's kind of like, well, then, you know, that could make things confusing in the long run and ultimately defeat our purpose. So let's just make a clean break of it. And I think Bill agreed. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that, you know, they ended up paying him what they owed him. They owe him for another year and then just say, all right, we're not going to get any draft picks. We're going to let you go and you do what you want to do. And we know you still want to coach and we wish you well. And they've alluded to all of that. And I think that that's entirely possible that that's what will transpire.
John Rook, what are you working on, and how can Die Hard Nation find you?
I've got a column every Sunday in the Providence Journal. So at projoe.com, they can find me there. And we'll still do our off-season Patriots podcast and Patriots Playbook podcast on patriots.com.
Thank you so much, pal. I know how busy you are in your schedule. Appreciate the time, as always.
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
All right. There he is, the voice at Gillette Stadium and the longtime voice of the Providence Friars. My first radio job was splicing reel-to-reel tape of the Providence Friars basketball game. I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to give you the date, but it was a long time ago when I mentioned reel-to-reel.
Was that Billy Donovan way back then?
I think so. That was the great John Rook on the Progressive Insurance guest line with the Diehards. We'll take another timeout when we return. The Progressive guest line is cooking. Super Bowl 36 champion. He was Mr. Irrelevant. First Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl. Former linebacker, played for Bill Belichick. Marty Moore joins the Diehards next.